Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's November the 20th, 2006. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing. He's in Normal, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Well, in agricultural news, Senator Kent Conrad is looking for $4.5 billion with a B dollars in agricultural disaster aid. Next year's Ag Appropriations Bill is scheduled for debate early next month. And the CBOT, the Chicago Board of Trade, may consider new rules for delivery of the soft red winter wheat contracts. Dave Dickey will have details of these stories later in the half hour. Also today, we'll hear a small portion of a speech that Abner Womack of FAPRI made to the NAFB last week in Kansas City. Womack spoke about the future of commodity agriculture in the nation and how ethanol may or may not play a role in the way it changes prices and structure. Oh, and don't forget that at the bottom of the hour, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast. It all happens right here on AM 580's Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at agrigold.com.
In Chicago, on this Monday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. December wheat at $4.75. They settled a penny higher for the afternoon. March futures at $4.93¾ were down a quarter of a cent. December corn futures at $3.60 after making a new contract high at $3.72. Finished 4¾ higher for the day, but near the bottom of the trade range. The low price for that contract, by the way, at $3.58 on the trade today. The March futures at $3.75, settlement price up 4.5 cents. The May futures at 377.5. They were up for the day, four for the day, and July corn at 379.25, up 3¼. Next year's December corn futures finished the day at 341.25, and they were up 1½ on the afternoon. Soybeans January contract 667.5, 7 cents higher. The March futures at $6.80. They were up 7¼. May futures up 8 cents at $6.90. And next year's November's made a new contract high, I believe, at 715.5, and their settlement price was at 708.25, and they finished up 8¾ for the day. December bean meal futures 191.90. They were up 150 for the afternoon. December bean oil at 28.72. They finished up 44. At the Mercantile Exchange, January feeder cattle down 70 cents at 97.67½. December live cattle at 87.42½ were off 15. And the Febs were up 40 cents at $90.62½ in the live cattle pits over at the Merck. December lean hog futures at $62 and a nickel were up 80 cents. From the outside markets, crude oil January futures at $58.85. They were down 12 cents for the day. The CRB at $306.38, up 59. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average at 12,311, down 31 points at this hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us by phone now is Kurt Kimmel, Grainfield Marketing, out of Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about the rally in the bean pit and what that might mean over the long run here. It's kind of interesting to watch that deferred November contract. I think it made a new contract high today.
Yeah, the bean market in the 07 November's closed at 708.25. It did make a new high by just a fraction or a half or a penny. The high, previous high, was 714.5. Today's high is 15.5. It went for some buy stops there. Really couldn't find a whole lot and sort of pulled back. It'd been more impressive if we're able to close above there. So that's what the trade's going to be watching, the 17 area in the new crop on a closing basis. And if we get above that, they'll start talking 750 area on the 07, and that probably could happen, especially if we see less bean acres start to show up in some of these private estimates. Also, to continue talk of rust in the southern hemisphere, or we see some export problems out of the southern hemisphere as we move along in here. So there's several fundamental things that could kick in longer term to help that. The key, though, is up front in these January soybeans. Their contract high is around that 683 area. You know, if the market's going to test that, that's going to be the area that's going to determine whether this market sort of giddy up and goes. for the most part, we're starting to see some trend divergences on these momentum indicators, suggesting that maybe there's more consolidation in the workings here.
And then if you turn your attention very quickly to the corn market, where they rallied nicely today and made a new contract high in the nearby, the deferreds were losing a little ground on the spread, though.
Yeah, there's a bullish scenario fundamentally, which the market's trading about 70% versus 30% technical now. We're in a situation where the fear of Argentina backing away from that corn export market, rumors of China defaulting on some corn exports, talk of maybe Chinese corn harvest is not as fast as what they want to be to sort of fulfill demand. But overall, Chinese corn harvest is going to be one of the better ones in history. The way the market performed today, you can go back just a month or so. We saw exact same situation where corn made contract highs and closed about 10 cents off the high. That was in the 1st of November there. And the market consolidated for 2 days and then took off and went higher again. It did it again about a week later where the market closed about 10, 12 cents off the high. That time, the market had a little bit more of a steeper correction from the close of about 16 cents, then turned around and went up and made new highs. So the way the market closed today and the way the momentum indicators are performing here, if we fail to get above this 365.5 level tonight or first thing in the morning, the market might be vulnerable sort of back and fill here for a few days as we go into the holiday.
Tell me about your best set of advice for producers on both old and new crop corn sales.
Well, the old crop, we've been having guys at the 60 to 70% sold area. If you're happy with the price, there's nothing wrong with cashing in. I mean, these are awful good levels. You know, if you're fortunate enough to have some fairly good yields, man, the bottom line looks fantastic. As far as new crop 07 goes, there's nothing wrong with being 10 to 20% priced. If we can move higher this winter on this corn shortage fear, we'd be willing to scale in it over time. When you look at the potential in most areas, you know, at 180 bushel, 200 bushel corn, you take the price you can get, it's awful hard to pass that up. You know, who cares if the market goes higher? I mean, that's pure greed. If you want to capture the most you can to the upside, I'd recommend, you know, being a seller, replace ownership on paper, or else playing by a put option to put a floor on you. That way that thing rolls over, goes on down, you're covered. If not, you still got your upside open. That's probably the best scenario is the put, because you don't know what type of weather we're going to run into next spring and summer.
Have you found that as you talk to producers that some of them are stubborn on the corn and making new crop sales?
Well, you know, you're always looking back. And when you look back, guys are still a little painful or jittery about being a little bit too aggressive there earlier. So most of the guys put their hands in the pocket here. But if we can get the market to break here about, you know, a good 30, 40 cents, I think they'd be more open or willing to do some marketing. With the resurgence, this market can go down.
Anything from the Mercantile Exchange we better discuss for the afternoon?
Well, the cattle complex, especially the feeders, is going to be the opposite of whichever way corn goes. Higher corn values, fear of higher input costs is naturally going to keep the livestock sector on the feeders in question. If you're a speculator and like to roll the dice here, I like buying these January feeders here at the 75.50 area near today's low. Risking 100 points, the idea the market's oversold can rally 300 to 400 points here over the next week or two.
Okay, thanks much. We appreciate you being with us.
Very good.
Kurt Kimmel is with Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois, and joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens each and every Monday afternoon. At the bottom of the hour, a meteorologist from Chesapeake Energy in Chicago will join us. AM 580's own Jay Searles says tonight across the two-state region, skies will be partly cloudy. It'll be chilly. Some fog will be possible in the northern part of Indiana. Lows, he says, will range from 20s in the northern part of Indiana to around 30 in western Illinois. Tomorrow, Jay says, plenty of sunshine and turning warmer. Highs will range from around 50 for eastern Indiana to about 60 in western Illinois. The extended forecast for the Thanksgiving holiday, Wednesday through Friday, a few clouds over the northern part of Illinois by Thursday and Friday. Otherwise, mostly sunny and warmer. Lows, temperatures will be from the mid-30s, with highs ranging from the mid-50s in the north to the mid-60s in the south. Dave Dickey is here now with a look at today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, North Dakota Senator Kent Conrad will champion a $4.5 billion agriculture assistance bill when Congress reconvenes for the lame duck session in early December. Included in the plan is $300 million for weather-related losses, $200 million for EQIP, and $24 million to sugar beet producers for losses in 2005 and 2006. Meanwhile, the FY 2007 Ag Appropriations Bill will be debated by senators on December 5th. The Senate adjourned late last week without hearing the measure. Incoming Senate Ag Committee Chairman Colin Peterson says when all is said and done, there may be fewer dollars for ag in fiscal year 2007, which also will impact farm bill debate.
One of the problems that we're going to have, the strength in prices that we have, especially in corn and some of the other commodities, is actually going to give us less money. Whatever the law is that's on the books drives the projections of what the spending is going to be. If we are going to be substantially below in Title I what we're now spending, that money doesn't become available to us. So we have to go to the Budget Committee and convince them that we need resources for some of the other priorities that we have. We have opportunities in agriculture and in energy independence, and so we're going to have to ask for extra money to do what we need to do. But it's not going to be easy. I mean, we're all going to have to work together, and it's going to be a tough budget situation.
Peterson says that when the farm bill debate heats up next year, that subsidies for cotton, rice, and peanuts need to be considered differently from other row crops. Sources say that the Chicago Board of Trade is considering enlarging its delivery territory for soft red winter wheat futures contracts. The CBOT is also considering increasing storage rates. The exchange says it will review input from a meeting late last week in deciding potential changes. There was special concern over index funds. Meeting attendees say index funds limit convergence because price movements in the futures contract do not prompt them to sell long positions. A test plot in a Minnesota cornfield showed slight yield gains using distillers' dried grains in place of commercial fertilizer. DDGs are a byproduct of ethanol production, and researchers now say DDGs may be a viable fertilizer when combined with solubles to make fertilizer-like pellets. DDGs as a fertilizer would not pollute waterways. Preliminary data from the Energy Information Administration says U.S. ethanol imports for September fell sharply from the previous month. The EIA says September imports totaled 2.194 million barrels, down from 3.203 million barrels in August. The bulk of ethanol imports came from Brazil, and most went to the East Coast. And a Swiss private bank report says at some point, biofuel growth will hit a barrier and investors should trend cautiously. Bank Saracen & Company says long-term growth of biofuels may be hurt by shortages of arable land and mounting pressure from environmentalists. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILO radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, reminding you to visit our website to keep track of where Dave and I are in this state. Tomorrow, we'll be trekking across, well, a large portion of it. I'll start out in the morning at the Holiday Inn in Mount Vernon, giving a speech to the Southern Illinois Fertilizer Conference. That's at 8:45 a.m., make a quick trek to the Bloomington Doubletree Hotel, and at 2:45 in the afternoon, Paul Cooley and Daryl Good and Dan Zwicker will join me on stage at the Commodities Conference, the Illinois Commodity Classic, for a WILL Ag panel. That starts at 2:45 in the afternoon. And then that evening at 7:30, Dave Dickey, along with panelists Kirk Kimmel, Bill Mayer, Mike Zuzulo, and Steve Schilling, will be at the Best Western Motel in Monticello, sponsored by AgriGold. That one's open and free to all at 7:30 in the evening for a WILL Ag panel. A very busy day for Dave and I, and we're sure hopeful that you can catch up to us either in person at one of those sites or on the air tomorrow right here on this radio station. Well, up next, we'll hear a portion of a speech that Abner Womack of FAPRI, that's the Food and Agricultural Policy Research Institute at the University of Missouri, made to the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention in Kansas City last week. FAPRI is saddled with the task of setting a 10-year baseline from which Congress manipulates the numbers in the Farm Bill to see what happens. He tells us a little bit about that baseline, which really hasn't been completed yet, and what they see in terms of ethanol and the way it moves into the marketplace.
The first issue is the expansion of the ethanol. Everybody knows that, and we're asking the question of how high can corn prices go and so forth. But here's the second part that really begins to put pressure on us in terms of trying to figure this out and where the industry is going to have considerable pressure, and that's the amount of DDGs coming on the market. You crush a lot of corn, you turn it into ethanol, but you get a lot of product back. And if we move from where we are now to 2010, we're probably going to put 15 million metric tons or better of DDGs on the market. Keep your eye on DDGs, because they directly substitute for corn and soybean meal. And so that's going to pull down the corn price where you think corn price is going to go out of sight. Some livestock, it's a major advantage. And for us in Missouri, we don't have feedlots, but we got a huge confined feedlot operation 6 miles from a plant in Moberly. Why? The cheap price of DDGs hitting the market. DDGs are pulling down corn price. Probably the feed on corn is going to be flat, and the feed on meal is going to be flat because of that quantity going to market. Keep your eye on DDG and how the livestock industry acts. It is a major boom. The lower that stuff goes, a major boom for cattle and for dairy, and it's probably going to pull those industries right up around those plants. Keep your eye on it. For the guys that can't use it, are high feed grain users like pork and poultry, and the feedlots that are far away where you have to deliver that pressure, because you already got energy pressure, now you got corn and higher feed grain pressure, how they're going to get their hands on that and react. A major shift is about to take place. You're sitting out there, keep your eye on DDGs and how the livestock industry acts, and ask them a bottom line question. What is it doing to your feed ration cost? And what do your margins look like? Because you know as well as I do that industry operates on a very low margin. High energy prices, low DDGs, you're going to see major shifts in this energy, in around this energy issue. Second thing to look for, $4 corn makes so much more money than soybeans does that you're going to see a tremendous shift in acreage. And you're going to bump corn acreage up substantially. And a good bit of that's going to come out of soybeans. How this works out, we don't know. Everybody says the wild card is CRP acreage, but that stuff is under contract. It'll take a lot of money to bring it out. So we have about 250 million acres. When we run our models, it almost stays that level, and that means that corn is going to pull it from other commodities. Keep your eye on the shift in acreage. Big deal. Now, with regard to prices, where are they likely to go? You've got tugs on the upside, but you've got a lot of tugs on the downside. A downside tug will be the amount of acreage come in. A downside tug will be the amount of DDGs on the market. And a downside tug will be where the livestock industry puts the floor on that business. It will be very hard to hold $4 corn unless you begin to pull out a tremendous amount of soybean acreage. It's going to pull a lot of acreage out, and a lot of it's going to come from soybeans. Finally, with regard to prices, what does this mean? You probably are going to move towards $3 corn, but to move towards $4 would be very difficult. John Martin with Farm Journal said it extremely well, and remember this, if you don't remember any other point. John said when corn gets to be $3, hogs get lockjaw. When it goes to $4, they get lockjaw and constipation. That means somebody's got to make a profit, and it's hard to make a profit at $4 corn. You're going to see major pressures on the livestock industry. Now, the further pressure, everybody's going to come under pressure. The biodiesel plant, the ethanol plant, and the feed grain industry, should we have a drought, because It's playing catch-up on the corn side, and the stocks drop from 2 billion bushels to about a billion, and the guys tell me when they're running the models, it's very hard to pull that stock level up. A billion bushels of carryover is fireworks for corn. You may get some high corn price and fireworks, but it's not likely that the corn prices are going to run quite as high as everybody thinks because of these pulling factors on the downside. Where do you look in front of us? Keep an eye on DGGs, keep an eye on the acreage, keep an eye on how the livestock industry reacts to this new pressure. Thank you very much.
That was Abner Womack speaking at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention in Kansas City last week. Womack is with the Food and Agricultural Policy Research Institute. That's FAPRI at the University of Missouri.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123, or email to cooley at admworld.com.
On this Monday afternoon, Wyatt Muse of the Andersons joins us for our look at the cash grain this afternoon. Thank you, Maya Wyatt, for being with us today.
Yeah, good afternoon, Todd.
In the last week, have things settled down? Are farmers still willing sellers of corn? And how about on the soybean side?
Well, over the past week, I would say we've not bought a great amount of grain. I would say actually today's activity was a little bit heavier than we saw during last week. Made new contract highs in December 6th. March 7 corn, and also in the Nov 7 beans, with our cash price reaching right at $7 today.
So you've got a cash price of $7 beans. You're buying more beans than you are corn for next year?
Yes. Next year, today, we bought more beans for fall than we did on the corn side.
And that would be expected, I take it.
Mm-hmm.
And tell me about basis as we go through the Thanksgiving week.
Basis is strengthening again here. We've gone to option price for nearby corn and three over December bid. People have put it away in the bin and aren't really ready to move it quite yet, and looks like the marketplace is trying to bid up to draw those bushels in.
And do you suppose that we will not see the winter doldrums this year in the marketplace?
Well, it's going to be interesting to see what kind of farmer movement we see right at the first of the year. I know last year people were able to hold on a little bit longer. We had a nice LDP payment and helped carry guys through that January time frame when a lot of bills come due, but I would anticipate this year people are going to hang on as absolutely long as possible if they have not priced the grain yet.
What are you hearing about from the processors on their short-term needs?
Well, I've not been hearing anything so much straight from the processors, but hearing complaints regarding the lines at a couple of the processor facilities where they might not be operating all the dumps. And so it's looking at slow truck lines despite their strong basis. So looks to me like guys are trying to reflect a very strong basis, and yes, they are willing to pay for corn, but how quickly they're willing to take it's another story.
And again, your bids for the day?
Cash corn, 360, fall of 07, 326. Our cash beans are 651, and fall 07, 693.
Wyatt, we appreciate you being with us.
Yeah, have a great day.
You too, and a good Thanksgiving, too. Wyatt Muse is with the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Somebody from that office joins us each and every Monday afternoon on AM 580's Closing Market Report. In 2 minutes, we'll take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Your regional news cast comes up after this.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Chip Jorstad in Morris at 815-941-3706. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. Jurors in Decatur today heard a taped interview during which Amanda Hamm accused her former boyfriend of intending to kill both her and her three children when he sank a car in Clinton Lake in 2003. In the interview played today during Hamm's murder trial, Hamm told investigators Maurice Legrone Jr., quote, wanted us all gone. Carl Foundation Hospital plans a 36-bed rehabilitation hospital at the Clear Lake Office Park at I-74 and I-57 on the northwest edge of Champaign. That's the same development where Christie Clinic plans to build an outpatient surgical center. The Carle facility would be built in cooperation with a St. Louis company that specializes in inpatient acute rehab care. Carle Hospital says it submitted the first round of paperwork for the project with the Illinois Health Facilities Planning Board today. U.S. Senator Barack Obama says U.S. forces should begin a gradual and substantial withdrawal from Iraq. The Illinois Democrat says the only way to get the Iraqis to stand on their own is to send a clear message that the U.S. isn't going to be around to hold the country together indefinitely. Governor Rod Blagojevich's office says the sale of $150 million in homeowner mortgage revenue bonds will help more than 1,000 Illinois families afford to buy homes. Proceeds from the sale will fund Illinois' iLoan mortgage program, which offers below-market interest rate home mortgages to low-income buyers. A federal jury has convicted a former Mattoon man of a 2004 Mattoon bank robbery. The U.S. Attorney's Office says 24-year-old Travis Ferris and a co-conspirator robbed a U.S. bank branch of more than $3,500. Ferris is scheduled to be sentenced in March. His co-conspirator, 24-year-old Jesse Courtney of Mattoon, has already pleaded guilty and is serving a nearly five-year prison term. A Terre Haute Church congregation is returning to its sanctuary, rebuilt after being severely damaged by a tornado in February. The storm blew out the doors of the Union Christian Church, but didn't damage the stained glass windows. The church was also able to salvage the sanctuary's cross. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. You're listening to the Information Advantage on WILL Urbana. We're joined on this Monday afternoon by Mark Russo of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois, to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast here and around the globe. Good afternoon to you, Mark.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Things slowing down here in the Midwest, of course, as we get into the latter part of November, but there are other parts of the world that are happily buzzing along with their planting season. Tell me about it.
Well, down across Brazil and Argentina, they continue to be in very good shape as planting of corn and soybeans continue. In fact, across Brazil, we continue to see very active planting as their pattern up to this point has been very favorable. They've had just enough rain here for soil moisture to be adequate for proper germination and early establishment, but not too much to delay any kind of significant planting. And overall, it looks like this trend of favorable weather will continue here as we go through the next week to 10 days. We would note, though, that southern Brazil did get very heavy rainfall over the weekend. Some areas got as much as 7 to 8 inches, but because their soils are very sandy and they've been dry over the past week or so and will remain on the dry side here over the next 7 days, those very heavy rains shouldn't really be any kind of issue.
Speaking of Brazil and South America, and made note that some of the early vegetative satellite maps are available. Have you had the opportunity to take a look at them and been able to discern what's been happening in terms of how many acres or what might be coming up in the ground there?
Well, Todd, we have analyzed the maps here at this early stage of the season, and the bottom line is that so far, so good across that area with early establishment here of and newly growth here of the planted crops. Really, at least for any kind of at least concrete evidence of development here. The crops need to be just a little bit bigger here, a little bit taller. So we still have several weeks to go, but at least kind of as an initial look here, things are pretty good.
Okay, so let's wrap up and talk about Thanksgiving and what will happen Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. A lot of people traveling over the next several days.
Well, especially here in the Midwest, if you love very mild Thanksgiving weather, then the forecast is a perfect one for you, as much above normal temperatures will be prevailing over the next several days, especially over the Thanksgiving holiday. We do see very dry conditions, too, really across the Midwest, so no precipitation really anywhere. And really the next chance of any precip will take place not until Sunday. So for those traveling late in the holiday weekend, that is really the time frame that could at least pose some risk of travel here. But it doesn't look like any kind of big snowstorm or anything like that to cause significant problems.
Mark, thanks much for being with us, and you have a good Thanksgiving.
Thanks. You too, Dad.
Mark Russo is with Chesapeake Energy out of Chicago, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report each and every Monday afternoon. Be sure to tune in tomorrow morning at 8:49 for our first look at the agricultural markets on the pre-opening market report with your Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey. I'm Todd Gleason. Have a great afternoon.
The Carle Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carle Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.